332 pasuk dalet. Here we are criticizing Klal Yisrael. They sleep on beds of ivory. The most expensive material in the world. Is ivory more expensive than gold and silver? Is there such a thing? Is it possible? It could be that it is. They sleep on beds of ivory. Usruchim al ar soysan. Okay, this is a very frightening expression. Okay, it's not loud enough. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, okay. It's not loud. Okay, turn it on. Okay. All right, good. Now it's much better. Okay, so it says here in the Pasuk, that Hashechvim, page 332, al mitoy shein, we are criticizing these people who live in a state of serenity, these individuals, and what is an example of their life of leisure, life of luxury? They sleep on the most exotic beds, okay? The rest of your life, right? 1-800 mattress.
Hashoichvim. Didn't
we have something like this earlier with the palaces? Yes, we had this pasuk. We'll see before appears in different Nevi'im, said the same thing in similar words. Okay, I think we have this. You'll see the Mefarshim. They cite other sources which say something very, very similar. Let's see. They lie on beds of shein usruchim al arsoisam. They soil. They make it dirty. What does it mean? They make it dirty. They make it dirty with shichva zera, with semen from living with women who are not. They're not supposed to be with another man's wife. We'll see more of that soon. The oichlim kodem mitzvah, they eat the best food. They eat lambs from the karim is a generic word which means fattened animals from tzoyin, from the category from the category of sheep. The agolim mitoch marbek, and agolim is young. Agolim is a baby ox. An eagle is a baby ox, and when it's within its first year, it's called an eagle. When it matures, it's called a shor. Mitoch marbek. Marbek is the feeding trough, or different perushim. Rashi says it means the place where the marbek is, the pen where the animals are collected. We'll see more in a few moments. I'll just go through a few psukim, and then we'll go through the details in different farshim. Haportim al pi hanaval. These people are. Okay, the word partim comes from the word pirat, like a prat uchlal, and in this context means they sing solos. Okay, they play. We have to see in more detail exactly how the farshim learned this. There are different interpretations of this long Rashi. But basically it means, papartim means the individual. They play, each one plays individually al pi hanaval on a harp or another type of a string instrument. Ki David chashvu lohem kleishu. That's a very interesting expression. And notice here, David is spelled mole with a yud. And normally when there is a yud, whenever we have a word that's missing a letter, it means that it's lacking. Whenever the word has the full letters, it means and in the world of Haggadah, there's a shlemus. David almost always is spelled choser, because the full benefit of David, of what David represents, is yet to be revealed in the times of Moshiach. The Malchus David has not really come to light until Moshiach will come. And therefore, until the point in time, David is choser, he's lacking a yud. Yerushalayim, throughout Tanakh, is always spelled without a yud. The only place where Yerushalayim is spelled with a yud is in Megillas Esther. Because Megillas Esther is symbolic of Yehoshua Mashiach. Okay, that's whole shmuz in and of itself. But generally, Yerushalayim is always choser, it's missing the yud. Here it says Kidavid with a yud. The people, they think they're better than David. Okay? David was the Noim Zemiros Yisrael. David was the one that knew how to compose beautiful melodies in honor of Hashem. These people are so arrogant; they think they're better than David. They don't just think they're David. They think they're David Mole, David with a yud. Okay, the gaiva is just outrageous. I remember once my mother went to a shir. And she came back and she was very distraught. She says that the person who gave the shir really believes that he's smarter than Rashi. He cited Psukim and he cited Rashi. And he said Rashi, and he said these very, very, very nasty, negative things. Rashi, you know, this and this. And let me tell you the emes of pshat. What kind of nonsense is that? You think, what kind of fool are you? You really think you know more than Rashi? Are you out of your mind? But believe it or not, there are crazy people out there in the world that think they know more than everyone else. Here, this pasuk is a very frightening pasuk. It says over here, these people, they play out partim. Partim means they play, they solo. You ever go to a concert? I used to go every so often with Mitzvah Shabbos to a violin, to listen to an orchestra. My sister is a professional violinist, and she at one point was part of a very chashuva orchestra. So we would go Mitzvah Shabbos. We would go to Fordham, the Pope Auditorium, in Fordham University, the law school. There's a very nice auditorium, and that's where they rented space. That's where this orchestra rented space. So I got to learn a little bit about, you know, how, what's it like to go to one of these, you know, recitals, high end, very chashuva people, and they always featured a soloist.
Right.
Always, Belishum Yotzim Nakal, a famous person, and the whole thing revolves around them. You have an orchestra of excellent, very very professionals, and yet the whole thing focuses on when this individual, he gets up and he plays solo, a complex, very complex.
You sing or just play?
No, to play. To play. So. L'cho'ero, when I read this pasuk, that's what I understand. Ha'partim. Each person thinks they're the best. They're the prat. The orchestra is the klal. The individuals who think that they deserve to play solo and everyone should bring them flowers. Usually it was a woman. And they would give them flowers and they would come back for an encore. It's a whole show. I found it to be very fascinating how much cover they give this one person. I always wonder, why does this person deserve the cover more than everyone else in the orchestra? They're just as good. But that's the way it goes. So everyone thinks they are deserving to be the prat. The orchestra in its entirety is the klal. And then there are people who go solo. Okay, in every type of business you have this, right?
It has to be environment, the situation. I saw... I was reading a piece. Joshua Bell.
Yes.
The famous violinist.
Yes. Yes.
And he was had to play in Kennedy Center. 3 months already in advance, all the tickets were sold out.
Okay.
A week before the recital in Kennedy Center, he was staying in front of Kennedy Center, playing on the street with the violin open, like a collector.
A beggar.
And people were passing by. Some of the staff were very nice. Didn't stop this. He was in disguise, and they were put money.
Quarter.
And he didn't collect for a meal, for the whole morning.
He couldn't collect $5.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
In the,
it goes to show you need the setting. You need the environment. If you do not have a pedestal, you don't have an environment. It means nothing. I always find you're saying a dvar Torah, a vart. You could have you may think you have the best one, even if it's a good vart, not your vart. You have a vart that's accepted to be out of this world, not your Torah. If you don't have the right environment, when people are receptive to listening, it's nothing. Nothing. You can tell them the most brilliant piece of Torah. If you get a kiddush and everyone's interested in the challah and the food, and I got a gvaldik vart, they couldn't care less. You have to have an announcement. There's going to be a speaker at this time, this place. Everyone comes there early. It's a social event. You have the food. And now their minds are open to hear what you have to say. Exactly. You have to have the proper setting, environment for anything to be accepted, to have a receptive audience. Absolutely.
Also, if you're given the name of the bar, the bar in the name of a person.
Who said it?
Who said it,
right? Mr. Glad always said that he's telling his children of art, tell them of art, 1 year by the Pesach Seder, and I want to tell you my vart. The next day, you don't say who the vart, you say, who said this? The Chassam Sofer said this. Oh, the Chassam Sofer said this. I lied to you. It's my vart. Okay, I told you this story not that long ago. I was in shul and I told a person, there's a rav there, chashuv a rav, and I told him a vart. So he liked it very much. He liked the vart. Okay, my guy, I'm telling you, he liked the vart very much. So then he said to me, who says the vart? Who says? So I said to him, I'll give you a choice. You tell me. Either of Yosheber said the vart, or Sfas Emes, Chasam Sofer, Satmarov. thinking, it sounds like Rav Yosheh Ber. So I said, okay, good. And that's all I said. Little did he know that it was my vart. If I would have told him that it's my vart, he would go, I know you. Even if he would be polite, I know him. Even if he would be polite not to go like that, I know that in his mind, he would discount the whole vart.
Because he knows you're related.
What? Because he knows what?
Maybe
it's in the family.
In the family? I don't know. It's a pretty through marriage. Through marriage, yeah.
Because you're saying such a big chiddush. That's the reason why. So you have to be that great to say such a big chiddush.
He's not a young man, this rabbi. He's a retired rabbi. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. I mean, he can right away, and whatever it was. So he right away, he liked it. And then I told him, he liked it. I was trying to challenge him. Which type of darshan would say this type of vart? He's very familiar with everything. Would this be a vart with a lean of a svasemis, more of a drush? Is it more a chasam sofer? Is it a different chasam sofer? You should know the truth is you can never tell. Someone once said Rav Schmidman, he told me very interesting. He said to me, he said that the chasam sofer is unique in that you can, is not predictable. All of the other darshanim, the gedolei, you can discern mahalach, and you can almost predict who said. The chasam sofer was so broad; every vart has no shayches, the style to the next. It's an incredible brilliance of a person to be unpredictable. Okay, to be that the chidushei Torah in his mind are so broad, you really can't tell. You can say this vart, and you can say that vart. Many other than Farshim and Farshim, there's a consistency. I remember once hearing so many years ago.
There's something to be said for having a
consistency.
But for having a system of thought, a shita that leads you to a particular place.
Correct. Look, the Havdol Elif Alfei Havdolos. Look at Trump. Is there anything predictable about Trump? No. Zero. Zero. You don't know what's going to be the next thing. That's a behavioral thing. What he's doing is not a matter of chokhmah. It's a matter of behavior. A matter of behavior. What did he have for breakfast today? Oh, it's predictable that he's not predictable. That's not true. That's very good. That's a good vart. What did he have for breakfast today? who did he have? Who said good morning to him today? No, so is that good or bad for the country? Maybe that's good for the country. But let's go weiter. Okay, and there was once, I remember once reading by the Talmud Chacham from the previous generations where a person came to him and he presented this sefer for a haskama. And this very great person, he read the first vart and he said, okay, I hear how you interpret the pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Yetzer Haaretz. I hear your unique approach, and based upon what I'm reading here, let me predict this is what you're going to say parsha the second pasuk, and this is what you're going to say on the third pasuk, and this is how you're going to fatayj the fourth pasuk. I already can detect your style in the first pasuk. I'm willing to bet and predict how you will follow through and interpret all of the psukim of the parasha. And there's something to it. Okay, there's something to be said about being predictable, but there's also something which is where you're not predictable. Okay, this pasuk here mentions over here, we have over here this individual who is hapartim al pi hanaval. He is viewed to be, he thinks of himself to be the one that is going to go solo. Hapartim miloshen pirat, in contrast to the word klal. Klal, prat, uchlal. He believes, I am so unique, so special, I deserve to be the one that goes solo. Number two, he thinks that he's so talented in his musical abilities, in composition, and in melody, that he is better than David. David only was written Dalit Vav Dalit. I'm better. I am David Mole. I have an I'm the full David. I'm not just the half-baked David. I know even better than David. This is the arrogance of the people who are living in the state of tranquility that almost criticizes back in the beginning of this parak. Let's see another pasuk. Pasuk Vav, Hashosim. Yes, of course. Of course. Who else? Okay, pasuk Vav, Hashosim b'mizrake yayin. People drink wine in mizrake. What are mizrake? Mizrake are goblets made of silver or gold or made of precious metals. Mizrake chod kesef. It says by the Nesiim that they offered in bowls of silver. Now, silver is not a good metal. Is not a good utensil to store wine. It may be something which is beautiful to store for blood or flour, but mizrak is not. If you store wine in metal utensils, it will very quickly spoil. It has to be stored in barrels of wood. We know today, the whole business, we know today from the schnapps business, okay, it's in the news, we once discussed this, the sherry?
Sherry
casks. The sherry casks, because these are casks that we use once upon a time to store wine. And the wood has absorbed the flavor. And that flavor now is seeping into the alcohol, and there's an issue: is it yayin nesach? The wine was not kosher because it was handled by non-Jews, and that's been absorbed into the wood. Now the wood is come out into the alcohol, and there's all this entire discussion of the science behind it. B'chulu. But one thing we learned from this is that in this world, arayom hazeh, you don't store wine in metal utensils. You store wine in wooden utensils and earthenware utensils. That's the only place where wine is going to be stored. These individuals are foolish. They're foolish in that they drink their wine in mizrakei yayin. They drink their wine in utensils from metal, which means they don't think about the long term. They think about now. Right now, I want to have a cup of wine. I'll drink some wine. There's leftovers.
It's for show.
It's for show. It's all for show. It's not to preserve quality. There's no concern for the future. Yayin, you'll never have yayin yoshan, shadas, zikenim, noicha himenu if you store your wine and drink your wine in metal utensils. Let's go further. Vereisha shemanim yimshachu, these pampered and delicate people, they smear upon their body the best oils. And this we learned before the parish. It's more of a drush. We learned this yesterday in the Malvim side of this pasuk. This is a very stinging criticism of Klal Yisrael, and that is that the people here of Yehuda did not mourn over the exiles of the Malchus of Yisrael. The shaver is the breaking. Yosef is Ephraim. The child of Yosef is Ephraim. Ephraim represents the Malchus of Yisrael that was led by Yerovam ben Nevat, who came from Shevet Ephraim. The entire Malchus of Yisrael is called al Shevet Ephraim, and Ephraim is the son of Yosef, and the Aseres HaShvatim have been exiled and have disappeared off the face of the earth, and the people living in Yehuda, they say, good for you. Good for you. You got what you deserved. And in fact, now we're very pleased because now we have the ability to take over your land. We will possess your territory and we will have more land for ourselves. This is considered in Hashem's eyes a very grave sin. How dare you rejoice over the suffering of your brother? It's like Mechiras Yosef all over again. Here the words are Nechlu. Nechlu means to get sick. It's not just enough to have pain to say, oi, terrible, tragedy happened. Okay, you have to get sick. V'le'nechlu al shever Yosef, to not get sick of the shever of Yosef. I always remember that story, always stings in my mind, that the fascinating story from the Bashkiach of Kamenitz, Rabbi Stern. What was his first name? I forgot his first name. He was the Mashkiach of Kamenitz. He died probably 25 years ago. His parents lived right here in Flatbush. What?
Field.
Yeah. No, that's a son. Yichil Michel Stern Shlita Sheyichil Liyamam Tavaruchim Yibon Chaim Tavaruchim is Baruch Hashem alive, and he writes a lot of svarim. His father was the Mashkiach of Kavanis Yeshiva. Was a very holy person, and there was a day when they I don't know remember the exact details when someone wanted him to do something to go somewhere, so he said I can't go. I just don't feel well. Why don't you feel well? So after prodding him, he admitted he's fasting today. Why are you fasting? It's not a tightness today. So after squeezing him, he said, I have a student in the yeshiva that's not doing well. That's, you know, on the border. He's at risk. And he's my student. I'm fasting in his chus. I accepted upon myself a yoim tzoim. I was makabel yesterday at Mincha to fast the whole day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should guard over this student. He shouldn't make any decision, any rash decision, or do something which will damage his neshama and put him on a path that he will not come back from for a long time. He's on the border. He's on the boundary. I have a responsibility. I talk to him. I learn with him. I do everything for him. But it's not enough. I feel that I have to be mispalel, and my tefillahs demand that I also accept upon myself a yom tainus. And I read that, I was blown away. Okay, I don't know anyone that I know. I mean, who knows what goes on behind the scenes? But I don't suspect I ever had a rebbe like that, that cared about a student. At kidei kach, that the mekabel upon themselves to fast. That's like wow. And this wasn't so long ago. This is like 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Where do you find people like that? I mean, that's unbelievable. It's mamish what it says here. V'lo nechlu, Hashem is complaining. You didn't get sick when you saw your brother suffer. You saw the Aseres Hashvatim go into exile. They were brutally exiled by Sanhedrin. And they disappeared off the face of the earth. And you're clapping. You're clapping and you're cheering. Good for you. You deserve it. You worshipped idols. You rebelled against Shlomo HaMelech years ago. You went down this evil path. You got what you deserved. And good for you. And not only that, Baruch Hashem, we now have a summer home. I'll go take possession of your property. And I'll have for myself a nice swimming pool in the summer for my children. So Hashem says, for that attitude, you are in a lot of trouble. You are in a lot of trouble. Hashem has much higher standards for us.
Same idea.
Okay, so Pasuk Zayin, one more Pasuk. L'chein, therefore, Ata, because of these things that we've learned in the last three Pasukim, Pasuk, Dalet, Hey, and Vav, because of this, Ata, now, Yiglu, Beroish, Koylim, this goes back to what we learned yesterday, that you'll be the first to go into exile. Even though Sancheriv is planning to exile the entire world, population relocation will affect every citizen of this world. You, the Jewish people, will be the first, because I have from you higher standards. Vesar mirzach siruchim, and when this occurs, then it will come to an end the marzeach, according to the Mitzudos, means the parties. Mm-hmm. Okay, all of your lavish parties, the mir zach, it's an unusual word. We have to study this in more detail. When this happens, when you go into Galus, you'll make an assessment of your life, and you'll realize what's important, what's not important, and this activity of partying late into the evening is going to come to an end. It will come to the end, this siruchim, this disgusting, these disgusting festivities that have no place in Yiddishkeit will come to an end when you are faced with the punishment of going into Golus, being the first ones to go into Golus. Okay, now, why? Because from you I hold a higher standard. This is something very important to learn, because I see often in the newspapers I hear often is that people make a horrible mistake and they say, what's wrong with what we do? The goyim are much worse. The goyim are much worse. So just because we don't know how to read and write, we don't know how to read and write, we don't learn Ula. So what's so bad? In the public schools, do they do any better? They're also illiterate in the public schools. What kind of nonsense is that? There are higher standards. You are people, mamleches koyhanim v'goy kadosh. Well, you should be illiterate? What kind of excuse is it to say, well, the goyim, they're illiterate, so we could also be illiterate? I hear Rabbanim say this. Is that, yes, so what do they want? I mean, to me, I don't know, maybe you'll tell me I'm not precarious, I'm not a cough of the Das Torah. You find over and over in Tanakh that Klal Yisrael is held to a higher standard. You're jealous of the, you want to be like the Goyim? Really?